Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, it's Glenn Brooks, and welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. You know, I'm a pioneer in the field of life coaching. I say that to you guys because I was coaching people before there was life coaching. And so I just wanted, as we get into the Vibrant Dog thing, I wanted to share with you a quick story that will assist you. It will assist me too. So the Dalai Lama's physician came to Boston Hospital, pretty renowned Tibetan medicine practitioner. And they took the Dalai Lama's physician on rounds, pulse, basic, you know, physiological tests, you know. And these are pretty renowned doctors out of, you know, the United States. So when the Dalai Lama's physician took the pulse of people, it transformed the whole system. They, as a matter of fact, their whole physiology changed, but they were happy for days later. So the question I want to ask you is, he was coming from a different place. So when you're coming from a different place and you realize that the rhythm you have and the awareness you have, it's transferable. It's transferable. One of my teachers told me once a story about he went to see these children that were institutionalized. He's a good friend of mine. He's a psychiatrist. We were having a conversation about soul and about rational mind. And he said to me one day, he says, you know, from the rational mind, it makes a lot of sense that people will be on drugs forever. But once people are in their soul mind, it changes their whole chemistry. So there's some subtlety with dogs. Dogs reflect us. The dogs are our mirrors. So if you're listening and you want to have another whole world of being in touch with your dog, and being in tune with your dog in a way where you're not, you know, disciplining the dog and kind of going crazy, to have the dog something, to have the dog do something that doesn't, probably doesn't know what you want. I want to introduce you to Sherry Marquez. She's a dog mystic. She has a practical system that allows you to be in tune with your dog. So I want to suggest that when you're in tune with your dog, you not only will you have a different result, but you'll have a different journey to results. Right?
Hello.
The journey we have to resolve. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad to be here on this beautiful Thursday afternoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to welcome Janet Carafa.
Hi.
Lisa. Welcome, Janet.
Aloha. Thank you.
Welcome, Lisa.
Aloha.
Lisa's on board.
Thank you.
That's the key word. Lisa, you're supposed to say aloha now as well.
Aloha.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Aloha.
Here is plumerias coming through. Beautiful plumerias. Can you smell them?
Oh, heavenly.
From Hawaii.
You know that old joke, someone says to the, they see a dog, they think the owner, they'll say, well, is your dog, you know, is your dog friendly? And the person says yes, and the dog bites him, and they say, well, that wasn't my dog, you know. In my earlier experience with dogs, I always, on some level, knew that it was the body language of the dog to pay attention to. I could ask the owner as an example, but if the dog seems like it's really growling, I got to pay attention to the body language of the dog. Since you've been around dogs for 18 years, Sherry, and being in tune with the dog, how relevant is the body language of the dog? Like, how do you, because a lot of people seem very confused about, you know, when, like, just being in tune with the dog is a big deal. I've been talking to a lot of people about it. And what they say to me is a lot of times they're either not in tune or there's certain situations they don't know how to be in tune with the dog. So they defer to treats. They defer to yelling at the dog. They defer to things they're not exactly feel great about, but they don't know what else to do. So let's start with reading the dog in the moment and having this in tune with the dog factor be on the scene.
Well, I mean, it's extremely important to know the body, the dog's body stance, and you know, being in tune with your dog is realizing that just because your dog is wagging its tail, it doesn't always foretell that the dog is happy. If the dog's tail is wagging, but there's tension in the body, then that dog is totally, like, is not totally relaxed. So it's really important to know and learn what to look for with the dog and with the dog's body, because it can be the tension that the dog is holding in their body, or, you know, their ears are back instead of up. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of different things to look for. And, but I mean, like, when you are in tune with your dog, I mean, even that eye-to-eye contact is so, so powerful. So beautiful, so powerful. It's great. You know, the dog is willing to please you and do what you want them to do. And that's where the bond grows, is allowing the dog's willingness to unfold with you guys both together. Like, as you're either training or playing or you know, whatever you're doing with your dog.
So. You know, I just want to mention, you know, Sherry, your website, the smartpawsdogtraining.com, is such a wealth of information, and I've really loved exploring it. And you have a wonderful page all about how dogs learn. And I think, you know, there's some really key factors in there that, you know, really touched my heart. You know, I think that the fact that you remind everybody that dogs are social animals and they don't want to be excluded. They want to be a part of everything. And what I found so wonderful was that you said to remember that dogs don't learn sentences. And I think so many times, you know, and I'm guilty of it myself. You know, I sit there and I try to have a long conversation with my dog about, you know, this is why something should be done or something. And you know, she'll look at me and she'll listen to me. But now it's really made me a little bit more conscious of, okay, you know, yes, she might be looking at me and wagging her tail, but, you know, I'm wondering what word she's actually learning from my long sentences. So, you know, I'm wondering if you could just, you know, share a few insights as to, you know, how you came to this understanding and what was it that, you know, obviously you're very successful and so many of the things that you do are so amazing, but sort of what brought you to the understanding of this inner realm of dogs?
It's just practice and learning, and it's, oh, I'm always, I'm always learning. I mean, just by working with the dogs for 18 years, and working with mm-hmm. so many different breeds and characteristics and issues and, you know, that's just the, that was the key factor of just experience and just realizing that, you know, because they're creatures of habit and, you know, they that's just how they learn. Repetition, doing things over and over, and consistency, doing it the same exact way every single time. You know,
Ask, is there one dog that was your greatest teacher? And if there was, you know, would you share a little bit about that?
Good question. Well, I guess the most rewarding training experience that I did have was there was a dog, and his name is Gangster. So his owner at the time when we started, his owner was a drug dealer. So he had trained Gangster to be a guard dog and be extremely aggressive, but at one point he had a girlfriend and he broke up with her. So then he wanted to get his new girlfriend, you know, just to get to know Gangster, and he was being so extremely aggressive with her. So when we started the training, I mean, like, you know, we met at the facility and just to see if we would be able to help. And the dog was extremely aggressive to the point that now the awesome thing about this facility that that I do the training is Arfington Pet Resort in Southeast Florida, in Tamarack, Florida. But they have a guillotine door. Like, there's certain runs that have guillotine doors, so it has an inside and an outside. So the perfect situation for that is any aggressive dogs, you're able to get their attention by opening up the guillotine door, having them come outside, and then you close the guillotine door just so you can clean the run. Clean the run and give them food and water and blankets and, you know, all that. So it took me probably, I would say a week and a half before, because I got a mannequin hand and arm. We just found it someplace. So I got a mannequin hand and it was more or less like putting the hand in, and it's more or less just the just being in front of his run, because the runs are long. I mean, they're like, let's say 8 feet long by like 6 feet wide. So they're big and spacious. So it's more or less just sitting in front of the cage. And as much as the dog is barking and growling and trying to bite through the fence, like it's a fenced front, you're just sitting there. You're sitting there nice and calm, and then putting the hand in, and anytime that the dog is going to bite the mannequin hand, pulling it out, and enough work with him, you know, I was able to finally, like, you know, touch him with the hand. And the main thing with aggressive dogs is, even though my heart is racing, and yes, I mean, like, you can't mask that fear, but even though my heart was racing, once I feel comfortable to actually go into the run to show that dog that I'm not afraid of them, and you know, as you can try and bite me and try and show your dominance, because of course that's what the dog is going to do. You just have to stay, as Cesar Millan says, calm, assertive energy. Your heart is racing, but your body is calm. Mm. Your body is calm, but you're actually, you're aware of every single thing that dog is doing. So it took, normally the boot camp is 2 weeks. It took maybe like 2.5 weeks for us I'm talking about like the handlers that are actually working in the facility. So for all of us to be able to touch him and put a leash on him and do training. And I mean, by the 2.5 weeks, we were able to go into the run, put the leash on, pet him, and totally transform him. So I mean, like, you know, that was definitely a huge learning experience, because as aggressive as the person or people think that the dog is, we can train them. We can turn them around. We can show them love. We can give them a chance to see what life is about. And it's not only protecting and trying to bite or to, you know, really hurt someone. So it was it was a very amazing experience.
Wow. You probably saved
and now, yes, and now he is, he goes with like, he loves the girlfriend. He sleeps in bed with them. He goes on car rides and I mean, he's got the life.
Is there an exclusive relationship at this point?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so the dog has a paw ring, and the couple has wedding rings, and it's a transformed situation. And Gangster is now, I think they call him Sir Gentleman. That they changed the name, or he's still Gangster?
Gangstar.
All right, Gangstar.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Gangstar. I totally missed. I missed the subtlety. All right, I missed the subtlety of the name change. The name, I didn't catch the name. So if you could put up one sign and have people catch one thing, like messages from the dog mystic, what would be one thing that if people caught this one thing, they would see the light of day in relation to? I know it's not one thing, but if one thing was a guiding light, what would it be? If someone's not, you know, they're getting a dog today, or they're having the same, they're missing the dog, they're missing being tuned in. What's one thing? A one thing you want people to get a feel of?
Take the time to sit on the floor and really, maybe not. Because, I mean, like, you know, if you're rescuing a dog, then you're not sure exactly what the dog's past is. So, you know, it's more or less. All right, let me think about this real quick. Sorry.
I love it.
The leash is your tool. So you're in control when that leash is on, and mm-hmm. anything that you're thinking and feeling goes from you through the leash and to the dog. So as long as you're calm and you're excited, then that dog is going to feel your energy. So it's just holding on to the leash and just sending the dog so much love and positive energy.
That's a good message for humanity, I think, to not just even to send to the dog world, but it's also, you know, transmits throughout.
Well, you know what gets people is I've been putting a seminar together for speakers, and I've been wanting to contrast the world of the linear world with this nonlinear. So there's a linear world. I'm going to give you an example. I met this woman from New Hampshire, and I'll get into this. It's a powerful story, but what kind of the feel of the thing is so much more relevant sometimes than the information of the thing. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. Sherry Marquez, the dog mystics with us. Lisa LaRose. Jenna Carapa. Vibrant Living. It is a Vibrant Living challenge, but that's a good thing. Stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Conflict comes in many forms and often triggers a fight-or-flight response. Some of us gravitate toward conflict, while many will stop at little to nothing to avoid it. Unfortunately, what we resist will persist, which often forces us to face our fear and deal with it head on. Join me during my show, Conflict Rising, as I discuss the important role of conflict with leaders who have moved through it successfully. Tune in Thursdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. This is our Vibrant Dog segment. Sherry Marquez, Dog Mystic. Being in tune with your dog. Lisa LaRose, Jenna Carapa. For many, many years, I developed something called the Vibrant Living Challenge as a coach. And I was always exploring this deeper listening. Like, what is it that actually shifts people and kind of gets them out of the, what I sometimes would call terminal normality? I met a woman in New Hampshire, and she told me the story. It really struck me. So basically, she had agoraphobia. She couldn't leave New Hampshire. And she would see this therapist in town. And this just happens in our lives. People, we presume things and presuppose things that keep us locked, and other people agree with that, you know. So she'd see this therapist, and the therapist said, well, you can't leave New Hampshire. But she had a vision of herself in New Mexico. And she was saying one day she actually got to New Mexico. It was kind of like she saw herself there. There's something when we get sort of, we just see things and we assume things. And so the bigger principle is as your beginning stay as a beginner, and as you get around people that don't hold you to a linear line, meaning that because you have certain conditions or circumstance, they pretty much see you as that. You know, they don't see you. They actually script you. So in my experience with dogs, I used to climb this hill, and every so often I would encounter this really aggressive Doberman Pinscher. And what I realized that I did do back before I really knew to do anything is I would, when he was kind of violent, kind of coming towards me, I would just stop and be still. And then he would sort of back up and relax. And I remember it took me like 2 hours to get down the hill, because every time I would begin to move and I wasn't totally present with him, he would sort of come towards me again. So I realized that dogs are this they're just this mirror. My friend wrote a book called Your Dog is Your Mirror, Kevin Behan. And I met him, and the thing that he shared with me, Sherry, I want to get your comment. He said to me one day, he says, well, Glenn, dogs just exist in two states. They exist in an electronic state and a magnetic state. He says, when you're with Ben, notice when Ben's in a magnetic state. And a magnetic state, a dog, you could say, is in a more of like a, as human beings, that's when we digest and rest, we're in a parasympathetic state. Same thing with dogs. So I noticed there was places where Ben was totally relaxed. Like, for instance, when he was in that state, he would chase cars when he was electric. but when he was kind of had this other state. So I paid attention more to that in my body when I've been around dogs. And I pay attention to their language, and it's, you know, and I guess you could say part of developing vibrant dogs, we're going to have a new feature where I really want to get the secrets or the awarenesses of the dog whisperers around the world. The most relevant thing is I'm really curious how the dog medicine enters people. Because obviously we're in a world where the dogs, this quality, the medicine the dogs carry, it does enter people. And in the last, 5 years, you could see this through service dogs. You know, obviously there's a new conversation. How do you see, Sherry, how do you see the conversation or the cultural phenomena of service dogs? How does that change the whole dog, our relationship to the dog world? Do you think it's opened up people to receive in a way from dogs they never had before? It seems like it's such a huge thing now with the service dogs, or even having people have fake service dogs. I don't know if they're real service dogs, but there's so many people that have the service dog patches on, you know?
Well, I mean, it's great that the dogs are so welcome now, and you know, we're able to bring them so many different places that we were never able to before, and it's a fabulous thing. But the dogs need to be well mannered. So I just feel that the people who are getting the emotional support jacket for the dogs and not doing any training and carrying the dog around or pushing the dog in a shopping cart and then the dog is barking their heads off in a store, I don't agree with that. But I agree if the dog is well behaved and on the leash and walking around with their owner, then it's a beautiful situation, because you know, we're able to go wherever we want with the dog, and you know, it's great for the people that have social anxiety disorder, and they're using their dog for that reason, to get out, to calm them down, to let them have a life again, because the dog is giving them a sense of calmness to not worry about being out in a crowd of people, or you know, or giving the people that calmness that they don't have to worry about what other people are thinking,
right,
or you know, looking at them, you know. So it is great. I just feel that people shouldn't take advantage of getting the vest and the patches, especially if their dog is not well behaved.
Right. Yeah.
So.
I know, Jen, you got to go. Next week we'll talk about your retreat, and we'll let
I'd love to say something about Gangstar.
Please.
Very beautiful. Of when you discussed about your heart's beating fast, but your body is slow, or your breath is slow, and that is you know, the energetic connection with the dog is yoga. Because you're working with your heart, you're connecting your heart and your lungs. So it's the same thing in yoga often. You're doing movement, you're doing these postures, and it's actually cardiovascular. And so your heart's beating, and yet your breath is slow. And that connection is a way to connect to be aware of how you connect energetically with the dog and with yourself, so that connection is active. activated. So that was very beautiful. Wow. Thank you for sharing.
You know, Janet, I'm glad you shared that. I spent the other morning with he's a cardiologist, but he's an investigator. We spoke an hour about two things. One was intimacy is being the most powerful medicine on earth, intimacy. And then two, blood fluidity. So how do people allow blood fluidity? Because blood fluidity changes your whole system. So what's kind of interesting is there's certain awarenesses that create blood fluidity. So, and blood fluidity changes your vessels. Like we have the most amazing, I mean, so when Sherry was talking about Gangster, it's so, it just sounds like family harmony. I know what I was going to say, right? So the other thing someone was pointing out to me is I met a family therapist and she goes, I don't talk to people at all during therapy. And I said, that's great. How do you interact with people? She said, I drive them up to this farm. She goes, I just have them sit as a family and observe horse families. Oh. No talking. Just observe the horses together.
Oh,
and she says, what happens is the harmony, and what happens is just their breath changes and they go into a state of blood fluidity and ease. Just observing the horses. Mm-hmm. No talking. The mind.
Wow. Yeah.
So the medicine, so what we need to do, what I'd love us to do, Sherry, I want you to send some videos so people could go on Om Times, go in the Vibrant Living section. We got an article coming out in the August issue, but I want people to see a video of Gangstar as an example and with the new girlfriend and this. And I want just, as best I can, I want people to see and feel this stuff because it's so beautiful and, you know, remarkable. And with Janet,
well, unfortunately,
just said,
I lost touch with them, so I don't know if I'll be able to get them. But I mean, I definitely have.
Right.
I have so many videos. So
yeah, okay, cool. Because I have a Yellow Pages gangs of South Florida. So I can just look them up, I suppose. It was an attempt at humor. Oh, I want to say upcoming. By the way, Janet, so appreciate. Thank you, Janet. Much love. Aww. Thank you. Aloha.
Much love.
You're going to let people know. Much love. Thank you. What was I just going to say to you guys? So there's some principles. So the principle is that when we see healthy functioning in an animal, and this is a secret of the whisperers, is when you see healthy functioning, you bring out healthy functioning. When you see the problem gets bigger. So if you see harmony, right, if you actually see that in the dog, the child, it's a very different way of being in relationship than if you're seeing a problem. Or as I say in my book, Divorce, the Patterns on Each Other, it's not the patterns that bring relationships down. It's kind of people's resistance to seeing a script in the other person. So it's the same thing with dogs. I mean, I've always found it fascinating when I see a dog educator come on, Sherry and Lisa, and they're able to save tons of dogs that other conventional people were going to put down. I think that's fascinating. Like, why is it that some dogs are put down, as an example, by the circumstance or their behavior, and other people see it as an opportunity to help them transform? So I think, you know, as we dive into this, I want some of you out there to contact Sherry. I want to pick some people because we're going to be doing an event very soon. We're going to be announcing it where you could bring your dog and you can meet Sherry. And it's going to be a weekend with the dog mystic. And we got a place. I'm very excited about this one particular place, which I'm waiting to get the confirmation because really there's nothing like you having this experience and having it reinforced. And the experience is that your dog, you're in touch with your dog. Right? Because when you're in touch, you're less prone to be frustrated, agitated, and, you know, basically you're not discharging your unsettled nervous system on your dog. What do you think, Sherry?
Well, you're in touch with your dog, but you're also learning how to be more in tune with your dog and learning about the body, you know, you're learning more about dog behavior, body language, body posture, how to socialize the dogs the correct way. So there's plenty of learning involved to get the dogs to play and enjoy themselves and to learn
learn how to deepen your bond with your dog.
Sure, go ahead and give out your website. We're going to have dates on the website soon for our In Tune With Your Dog retreat with the Dog Mystic, Sherry Marquez. Sherry, what's your website?
My website is smartpawsdogtraining.com.
Smartpawsdogtraining.com. All right. Let me just check. Do we have Teresa Young on the line with us yet in the family room yet, Chris?
So I'm here. Are you hearing me?
Very good. Beautiful, beautiful. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, welcome. I wanted to share you a story as we welcome Master Teresa. And this occurred about 10 years ago. And at the time, my wife, Donna, had full facial Bell palsy. Her whole face was frozen. And I was doing a series on Qigong. I first learned about Qigong many years ago, but I didn't really understand the depth of it or how it could bring ourselves to a new level of oxygen, that these subtle movements, these gentle movements, could open up new energy and awareness and healing. And so 10 years ago when Donna had and I did a tape, you guys could see, I was on a TV show called Beyond the 3D, and I did a tape, even though I was tired, I did this tape anyway. It's called Her Beautiful Face. And I tell the story of what it was like to be around someone I treasured and loved and see her face go from frozen to have her face have full function again, even though the doctors wanted to do a spinal tap, very invasive treatment. So what we did every day is we hiked to a small mountaintop and we did Qigong. We did these gentle, subtle movements. Now, as you guys know, if you're listening to Vibrant Living, I meet people in the remarkable. We meet people in the remarkable. So what is it to meet someone in the remarkable? It's not linear. I have met people literally and had one conversation and they have flown to see me from another part of the country. We're going to talk how I actually just learned about Master Teresa. And we're going to talk about Ai Qigong today and how Ai Qigong could change your vision, your health, and the wonder of having healings around your vision that you may have never heard before. So stay with us here in Vibrant Living. We're going to talk to Master Teresa about Qigong and the eyes and having another level of seeing and vision. Stay with us. I'm Glenn Brooks.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Thank you. Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. So along with Sherry Marquez, Lisa LaRose, we have Master Teresa Young, who educates people how to wake up their healing energy. Hey, here you are. Welcome. I'm so happy you're here, Master Teresa.
I'm happy too.
So what is it? Share with us. You know, I asked the universe. I asked for guidance to meet someone who actually was doing Qigong with the eyes. And I saw a picture of my beloved teacher and family member, Dr. Norm Shealy, on the top of your flyer. And I said, oh, my God, I need to do a series and work with Master Teresa. So there you are. Share with us your story. I understand some of your story because someone over dinner told me some of your story. And they were saying that when there was a point in your life, maybe your children needed help with their eyes. And you developed a certain, I believe you developed a certain type of Qigong doing these very gentle exercises that are rejuvenative, restorative, and deeply healing. What's the real story? What's the real story that got you?
Maybe I don't talk about me. I'm just a lady, you know, happen to be a lady, and I'm just doing something funny called Qigong. So what's that? It's just mindful breathing exercises. Anyways, so just go back to the, you know, you always find the teacher at that time of your life, you really need one, right? So when I met my teacher, I wasn't anyone special, just a lady with three children, and I just met him. He came to Canada, and I just started to learn from him. But I never thought it would become my full-time, would become an international school. I never thought I would be a great healer, and then people looked at me as, wow, Master Teresa, oh my God, I'm just a woman, really. A woman of three kids. Yeah. So I think my teacher and me, we are real good friends. So the story maybe with him could be just like you, right? Oh, I always like to learn Qigong, but I just not going to go around and look for one. So when it arrived at my door, then I wouldn't mind starting it. So that's 23 years ago, he when he came to China, well, he came from China, right? So the story behind of the eye, since that's the interest of it, for you, anyways, maybe not for everyone, just you.
Well, but I do want to say this.
I like that story. It was fun. So the story, you saved your mother's eyes. Isn't that awesome?
That's beyond awesome.
Yeah, the teacher arrived home from his trip, and then the mother's eyes were bleeding. And then it's going to go blind in a few weeks. And it's not going to be able to recover, according to the doctor at that time, talking about over maybe 30 years. And then so I've got to save my mother's eye. And then he just pull all the books together and then probably didn't sleep and then figure out how to do the eyes. So he did it. I think it might even be overnight. He just figured out how to do it. And then with practicing is one thing, eye movement with meditation, making the energy, trusting, and the acupoints. And he also do a lot of energy healing. Qi healing is very powerful. And he's doing it that every day. And then in a few weeks, the mother's eyes recovered. So it was legendary that it was really recovered in a few weeks, right? And then after that, he didn't even want to tell people what happened. So he just let the doctors get all the credit. But it actually went out eventually. That's the thing, it's supposed to go out. And then it actually went to get all the children in the schools in the city to practice, to research. So there were 4,000 clinical studies documented, and then it's really legendary because the success rate is over 90%. Wow. So the eyes are improving, and then the story went on, then it went national, and then all the doctors in China knew about his eye Qigong, and then and even now, like 20-30 years later, all the children in China in the 13-year education, they do eye exercises in school. All the children. So you say millions of people doing it, or millions and millions. It's very interesting. I think it's really, I really think for me, it's like he has lived.
He has what?
He has lived well as a person. He didn't waste his time all the time has been used really and then continue the story to now, to this this time. Yeah, what would you like to know next?
Well, I do want okay, I have a question for you. So 25 years ago, I met an eye doctor, Dr. Jacob Lieberman, and he said something that stuck with me for forever, really. He said to me, he says, well, people are addicted to three things. They're addicted to their thinking. They're addicted to their thinking, which impacts their seeing. And then he said to me, they're also addicted to their eyeglasses. And he says, light is the medicine of the future, that when people could see light, it would change their seeing. What I'm curious is, is there one or two things you want to share with people that maybe they could begin to practice or take note of that might impact their seeing just from becoming aware? In other words, just by listening to you.
Yeah. How much time do we have?
Another 10 minutes, but we're going to have an ongoing series. We're coming to see you. I want you to give people a really powerful hors d'oeuvre today.
Yeah,
something they can chew on for a little bit. Yeah.
We can have fun. So I think what we do is this. So I'll get the, thank you, you know, for bringing me here. Thank me, asking me doing this. Thanks the audience are willing to try. So what we do is with two eyes, right? If we look outside or look around where we are, just any look, anything. So you cover one of the eye and you cover the other eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just, you know, so you know how you look, right? And how they are or something. So then now we're going to make a decision now. We're just going to pay attention to one eye. So we have two eyes, right? So we know how they look and all those things. And we know how it feels, if they are tense or whatever it is, right? So then what we're doing now is I'm going to show you, people want things nice to happen in their lives. So they just ask, right? So a lot of time people ask things, they never happen. Because why did it not happen? It's almost like nobody listened. The universe, my God, is not listening to me. So I just want people to understand. The thing is, when you ask, somehow it didn't get out properly. Because so that we will actually talk more in a class, or you can come to, I don't know, if you are in Massachusetts, right, Lenox, there's a meet and greet on the Friday, and there's a fundraising event on the Saturday, right? So you can come to just having fun, right? And then in there, we also practice Qigong and show you what it can do. But right now, so we're going to pay attention to just one eye. So what we do is I'm going to show you, I'm going to lead you how to relax, right? And then you follow me and listen to me. And then as you keep relaxing, say like a minute or two. And then we will open the eyes and we'll see the eye. We pay our undivided attention. It will feel different. I think that's cute.
Okay.
That's cute. Mm. Okay. Now let's do that. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll also ask the audience if you will open your heart and allow, right? Allow something special will happen to you if you just really just allow. So just treat it like a little game right now, experiment to see you can actually relax. It's just that. So we sleep, we feel better. That if we can just spend a little bit of time on ourselves anytime, reduce some stress, isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Now focus on, focus on one eye, say for me, I will focus on my left eye, for instance. So now I say, head relax. So you can close your eyes, right? Head relax. Face relax. Shoulders relax. Neck relax. chest, relax. Back, relax. Arms, relax. Relax your hips. Relax your legs. Relax your knees. Relax your feet. And relax your toes. Just relax. Relax, just relax, right? Nothing to do. Learn to just release tension. Mm. Isn't that nice? So we'll give the attention back to, for me, I'm going to focus on my left eye. So find one eye you're going to spend the time on it right now. So just relax. See a light, beautiful light. Could be just a white light. It could be a blue light. That's not really matter. Like a calm and soothing energy or a light. Then you see the light come to you, but they only arrive to that eye. That eye. And then just relax that eye. Just relax. Breathe in. Just breathe out. Enjoy the light coming in. Calm and peaceful and soothing. It feels nice. Relax. Breathe in. Breathe out. In, breathe on. Breathe in, breathe on. Relax, so relax that eye. Just relax. Isn't it nice to relax? Nothing to look, nothing to pay attention. The job right now is just relax. At peace with yourself, just relax. So spend another minute on yourself right now and continue to relax that eye. 1 minute, I think, will be sufficient. I send you my blessing.
I want to thank you deeply, and I want to say I'm really inspired to myself, Alicia, to meet you at the Eastover Resort Retreat Center in Lenox, Massachusetts. That's Eastover Retreat Center, Eastover, and there's a nice write-up on Master Teresa's workshops. So as the whole body relaxes and we allow the energy to cleanse us.
So, now we can open the eyes, our dear audience. So you can actually see when you open the two eyes, the one you are paying all the undivided attention will actually feel different than the other one that you're not giving attention. And then sometimes you might even feel, even that eye seems more alive.
Mm.
That's cute. I think it's cute, right? So I'm like a very hands-on teacher. I don't like to talk. I like to experiment. I like to having fun with my students, so you can discover what it means to you, really. So next week, the Friday, I'll be at Lenox. Thanks for the invitation. There's a meet and greet at 5 to 8 o'clock, and there's a little practice in the evening. And Saturday, I'm trying to raise some funds for the Moments House for the cancer. So it's Saturday night, come in too. And there's workshop on the weekends and et cetera. The trainings, if you want to know more, just as we're gonna look forward to seeing Glenn and I think Lisa, right?
Yes, and I just want to give out your website. So it's
Thank you, Lisa.
PureLandQigong.com, and that's Q-I-G-O-N-G. So it's PureLandQigong.com.
Oh,
and there's so many beautiful teachings and wonderful things to explore on your site. Thank you so much for that. My eye feels wonderful, and I feel so rejuvenated.
So how do you feel now?
I feel relaxed and amazing. And very energetic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Much love, Master Teresa. We'll see you soon. And
thank you.
Sherry Marquez. Thank you, Sherry. Dog Mystic.
Thank you. SmartPawsDogTraining.com. Right. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. We're so eager to see you with Master Teresa, and I encourage you. It's worth traveling for. What she does is beautiful, beautiful medicine, deep medicine that you could partake in and cultivate in your own body and your relationships. I'm Glenn Brooks, your life freshness. Thank you.